Hello there, my sexy listeners. Happy Halloween, 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 Halloween. Surprise! I am dropping you this episode a few days earlier as a celebration for the spookiest and kinkiest time of the year. If you're new to the podcast or have been listening for a while, please hit the subscribe button if you haven't already so you won't miss any new erotic episodes from Lala's Bedtime Tales. Your future self will thank you later. Also, please share my podcast with any of your friends who love erotica tales. Please be sure to leave this podcast with a 5-star rating and review so I know you love this podcast and other erotica lovers will be able to find this sexy podcast too. If you're a Spotify listener, please show me some extra love by letting me know your thoughts on these episodes in the Spotify interaction section. Also, while I love naughty, nasty, dirty talk as much as the next person, please keep it PG-13 so I can share your voice with the world on Spotify. Don't be shy. I am super excited to hear your thoughts on my stories. Feel free to slide in my DMs on Facebook and Instagram and let me know your thoughts on Lala's Bedtime Tales Erotic Stories Podcast. Do you want to help support Lala's Bedtime Tales Erotic Stories Podcast so I can keep bringing you all a high quality audio erotica experience? If you can't get enough of the podcast but want more erotic, spicy, entertaining, and educational content, then join Lala's Bedtime Tales Patreon. Today is the last day to cash in on the VIP exclusive access still. I'm running until the end of October 2023. If you sign up for at least the $5 Baby Girl exclusive access tier, you'll have access to my upcoming workshop and all future workshops as long as you remain a patron at the $5 tier or higher. And I'm planning at least 4 love and sex advice workshops a year, so you won't want to miss this deal. That's, of course, on top of the ad-free early access podcast episodes, voting rights for the continuation of podcast stories you want more of, behind-the-scenes content, bonus episodes, and so much more. Check out the show notes to join my Patreon today. Do you want sexual health education and expert love and sex advice? For those that don't know, I'm also a sexual health educator and love, sex, and relationship coach. So, if you want to level up your love and sex life and unlock the secrets to having more pleasure in the bedroom, follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and subscribe to my YouTube channel. Keep listening for the salacious part 2 of this romantic thriller. Enjoy, lovelies. Attention, attention. Just a quick message for me. I'm dropping in with a spoiler alert. This is the second part of a 2-part story. So, if you haven't listened to part 1 of the deadly Tinder Bender, then hit the pause button and go back to listen to the first part. I highly encourage you to do so, or else you will be extremely fucking confused. You've been warned. It's time for Lala's Bedtime Tales. Grab your wine, dim the lights, and get ready to listen to an oh-so-sexy bedtime story. I'm Lala, and I want to tell you an erotic story guaranteed to turn you on and get you hot and bothered. So, listen up. Hi there, freaky listeners. Are you ready to hear what happens next for Anina? We left off with her in the park having discovered the dead body of a friend, leaving us questioning, why does everyone near Anina keep ending up missing, or worse, dead? Let's find out if Anina is the Midnight Heart Slinger, or if she's the unluckiest girl alive, and these are all just unfortunate coincidences. Listen up. My body is slick with sweat, but I can't stop shivering like I've been dropped in a freezing cold ice bath. When I close my eyes, I see blood everywhere. I smell death in the air, and I see red and blue flashing lights. Darren. Sweet Darren. He's another soul lost from the world because of a murderous maniac. And it has to be my fault. Some way or somehow, I'm connected to the Midnight Heartslinger. But how? Could I be the one wreaking havoc in Chatham County? The killings happened when I made my return from Atlanta to Savannah. Most conveniently, it's been individuals I've encountered. It's just one hell of a coincidence. I'm just so confused with everything that's happened these past few days. Poor Darren. He didn't deserve to die. I've never seen a dead body in my life, at least from what I can recall. Nevertheless, I hope never to see another one. Anina, I'm going to undress you, okay? Quinn's voice penetrates the memories of the horrors I witnessed tonight. I hear the water of the shower running. I feel Quinn's warm hand cupping my cheek, but I feel like a stranger in my own body. I'm so out of sorts, like when I've woken up from a sleepwalking spell, dazed and confused. It's like crossfading on shrooms and Everclear after a hard night of partying. You may still be in shock, Quinn murmurs, my eyes meeting his champagne stare. Shock. It's what the EMT told the police when they tried to question me a few hours ago. But I feel like my mind is trapped in a nightmarish dream state that's keeping me trapped in an endless loop in Forsyth Park. My mind has become a labyrinth of hell. I need to undress you. Once you shower, you'll feel better, Quinn assures me, kneading the tense muscles of my shoulder. I slowly nod my head. Quinn unzips Winston's Canada Goose jacket. Fuck, Winston, I yell, shaking like a leaf. I feel overwhelmed with fear. What if the Midnight Heartslinger got him too? He's okay. He's on a red eye back to California. I was at the end of my shift with CSI when we arrived on the crime scene, Quinn shares. I feel my body sag a little from relief. One of the many weights lifting off my shoulders. My stomach churns with disgust as I glance down at my blood-soaked clothes, rivaling that of Carrie's on prom night. I go through the motions of Quinn undressing me until I'm left standing stark naked in the bathroom. Get in and I'll give you privacy, Quinn says. I dig my nails into his arm, keeping him in place. Stay with me, please. I need you. Don't leave me alone, please. I whimper, not letting go until he nods and begins stripping himself naked to join me in the shower. He opens the shower door, and I step into the scalding hot water, which feels like a baptism from the horrid sins I may have committed if I were the Midnight Heartslinger. I let out a loud purr as Quinn begins washing the night from my skin in gentle, caring, thorough strokes skating across my flesh. Thank God for Quinn. If he weren't with me, I'd have lost what sanity I had left trying to bear this cross alone. I worried for him. I worried about Zaniya. But I could let out a sigh of relief that Winston was over 1,000 miles away. Shh, Anina. Close your eyes and try to focus on something peaceful. You can lean on me and Zaniya. We always have your back. Quinn's words whisper across my skin, making me feel a little less lonely in the chaos. I turn to face Quinn, not wanting to think about tonight anymore. I needed a great distraction. I needed the comfort of someone I know will always protect me. I needed Quinn. I watched his eyes darken with desire as I reached for his neck while standing on my tippy toes, pulling him down to devour his lips in a sweet, comforting kiss. I hold him in place with my left hand around his neck, sliding my tongue into his mouth, deepening our kiss as my right hand trails down his muscular chest and washboard abs until I can wrap my fist around his shaft. I begin to stroke his dick with my palm, swallowing the deep moan of pleasure I elicit from his strong frame. Quinn backs me into the shower wall, hiking my leg up to wrap it around his hips. He plunges two big, thick fingers into my pussy, causing me to gasp in shock from the intrusion. Quinn slides his fingers from inside me, stroking my wet, slick folds while stroking my clitoris in a windshield wiper motion until my entire body shakes around his hand. Quinn breaks our kiss, trailing soft kisses down my face, the column of my throat, until he reaches the erect buds of my nipples. He worships both of my breasts with his hot, wet mouth, his tongue sucking, flicking, and nibbling on each tight nipple until I'm panting, wanting, and eager for more. He pulls away from me for a few seconds to grab the detachable shower head. I gasp in shock from the pleasurable pain I feel when he lets the water from the shower head rain down on my tight nipples as he gets to his knees in front of me. Quinn uses his free hand to hike my leg onto his shoulder, splaying my dripping wet pussy open for him. I let out a loud hiss when he keeps the shower pressure on my nipples as his tongue darts out to lap up the juices of my pussy before he eagerly sucks my clitoris into his hot, wet mouth. I allow my head to fall back against the shower wall as he overloads my body with marvelous sensations of euphoria. Torturously, Quinn drags the shower head down my body until it massages my mouth and I'm squirming from pleasure. He replaces his mouth with the shower head as he slides two of his big, thick fingers back into my meaty, wet pussy. I ride the shower head, massaging my clitoris just right as he strokes my G-spot until I'm tethering on the precipice of ecstasy. I tease and tug on my oh-so-hard and oh-so-sensitive nipples as I grind down on the shower head as Quinn's fingers thrust in and out of me, slowly driving me insane. I desperately need his dick inside of me, not wanting to come from the skillful strokes of his fingers. I want to feel his closeness. I want him pounding into my pussy hard and fast. That's the only way to satiate my hunger for this man. Quinn, I want you to fuck me. I need you to destroy my pussy. I'm so hot and horny for you. Please fuck me. Fuck me hard, I impatiently beg. Quinn places my leg on the shower floor, removing the shower head and rising to his feet. He quickly hooks the shower head back into place before rounding on me and picking me up off the floor. He slides his dick inside me hard and fast, holding me up by the globes of my ass cheeks as he mercilessly thrusts inside me. I wrap my arms around his neck and my legs around his waist, giving me leverage to ride his dick, meeting him thrust for thrust. Quinn sucks on the pulse point of my throat, sending shivers down my spine as he pounds my pussy hard and fast. He slams his palm against the shower wall, tilting my hips so that he can fuck me at a deeper angle. Yes! 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 Fuck me, Quinn! Fuck me harder! I loudly moan, feeling my pussy quiver around his manhood as I begin to feel my pleasure build into an intense orgasm. As my pussy clamps around him, he strokes in faster and deeper, slamming into me in a way that stimulates my G-spot so damn deliciously. I close my eyes tightly as he bites down on the pulse point in my neck, flinging me over the cliff of ecstasy. I scream until I'm hoarse and my lungs burn. Quinn thrusts into me once, twice, thrice, before grunting out his orgasm as he fills my pussy up with his release. I got you, baby. I got you. I will always keep you safe, Quinn sweetly whispers in my ear, smashing me against the wall, his dick still twitching inside of me. I revel in this physical and mental intimacy Quinn has created with his dick still buried inside me while he softly flutters kisses across my forehead, eyelids, and lips. I knew Quinn would keep me safe. He always has. But who would keep Quinn safe? Especially if the one person he needed protection from is me. After Darren's death, I've been swiping a lot less on dating apps and only adventuring out on double dates with Sanaya. Yet, people were still coming up, missing, and dead. The oddity of the situation is that some of the men I'd had only one date with, but continued to talk to on and off, were joining the laundry list of missing and deceased people that the Savannah Police Department is tracking concerning their investigation surrounding the Midnight Heart Slinger. Anytime the Midnight Heart Slinger case appeared on the news, or I saw people I was recently acquainted with or had befriended were missing or dead, my stomach became sour. It didn't sit well with me that these people's deaths were linked to me in some way. I had begun distancing myself from many of the new friends I had begun to make since arriving back in Savannah and only dealing with Sanaya and Quinn. For days after Darren's death, I had tried to sleep as little as possible in fear I sleepwalk in the middle of the night and commit atrocities I wouldn't remember during my awake hours. Luckily, Chatham County instated a county-wide curfew of 9 p.m. to try to minimize the kidnappings and deaths occurring within its jurisdiction. So, the only people I had to protect from me, if I were the killer, were Sanaya and Quinn. I had installed a lock on my door where Sanaya could lock me in at night, and Quinn had been spending his nights locked away in Sanaya's room, giving me some peace of mind. If two locked doors can keep them alive, then God help us all. Who's ready for some whiskey hot chocolate and a game of Scrabble? Sanaya bellowed, carrying a tray of mugs into our living room with Quinn on her heels with the game of Scrabble. I internally groaned because our nights had become like a retirement home party, stale and boring. Not only had our nights become drab, but my pussy ached to be filled with Quinn's dick. I looked over at Sanaya, envious of the just fucked glow illuminating her flawless mahogany skin. Since she'd been lucky enough to have Quinn to herself over the past few days, when he hadn't been working the CSI night shift, they were probably having marathon sex. But I wanted to keep Quinn safe, so I had begrudgingly barred him from my bedroom to keep me from potentially stabbing a blade through his heart after falling into a deep, relaxed state of sleep from the post-dick coma Quinn was guaranteed to provide. Sanaya grinned at me, knowing she knew why I'd been in a crappy mood all day. We both enjoyed a good dick down from Quinn. Sanaya and I had shared men as college roommates, and Quinn had been one of those dicks we both got the pleasure of enjoying. Before I moved away, many people had thought we were in a throuple, and not just three best friends that sometimes involved benefits of the sexual variety. I watched every move Quinn made as he set up the game of Scrabble. My body screamed for his, my pussy soaking wet and my nipples hardening with every move or unconscious brush up against me he made. The whiskey hot chocolates flow freely, and by my fourth cup in our umpteenth game of Scrabble, I'm cracking Sanaya and Quinn up with every word in the game being sex-related. When I spell out cunnilingus, Quinn huffs and Sanaya lets out an amused snort in response. Okay, let's help our girl out. Sanaya laughs, grabbing the bottom of my scat sweatshirt and pulling it over my head. I sit there in a pair of short sleep shorts and no bra, my nipples puckering under the heated, lust-filled gazes of Sanaya and Quinn. It's been years since Sanaya, Quinn, and I had a threesome. My pussy became more slick, and my clitoris twitched with excitement about the thought of having both Sanaya and Quinn fuck me. Sanaya held the heavy weight of my breasts in her small palms as she caressed my nipples with her thumbs. A throaty whimper escaped my mouth as the beautiful champagne irises of Quinn's eyes darkened to an obsidian shade as they clashed with my eyes over my shoulder. I felt his strong hands on my shoulder, lowering me to the ground between his thighs. Once my shoulders hit the floor, He sits on his haunches, his knees straddling my head as he scoops the lukewarm whipped cream off the top of the whiskey hot chocolate and splatters it on the swollen, erect buds on my chest. I loudly gasp when his mouth closes over one of my sensitive peaks, taking his sweet time to lick the whipped cream from my chest as Sanaya rolls my shorts down my shaky legs. I allow my thighs to butterfly open, giving Sanaya a full frontal view of my glistening, wet pussy. My back arches when Sanaya's tongue licks the opening of my hot, wet pore as she strokes lazy circles around my aching clitoris. In synchrony, Quinn and Sanaya pleasure me with their mouths until I gasp both of their names in between my labored breathing, unable to get enough of the pleasurable overload they are unleashing on my body. I let not only the sexual tension in my body release itself, but I let the stress of everything happening in our community go as well, as I focus on the moment, enjoying the feeling of Sanaya's tongue licking my slick folds as she plays with my clitoris, and Quinn's hot, wet mouth on my nipples as he runs his hand up and down the sensitive curves and dips of my stomach and hips. I let out a loud moan of ecstasy as my orgasm hits me when Quinn causes me to shatter into a million pieces by slapping my tits together before demanding, "Sanaya, get naked and straddle Anina's face." I lay limply on the floor, unable to move as I come down from cloud nine as the waves of my orgasm start to dissipate. Sanaya's sweet, smooth pussy lips gently touch my mouth as she hovers herself on her knees. I look up and her small breasts sway above my eyes. She's on all fours with her vagina above my lips. I dart my tongue out for a taste, licking her from root to tip, taking my time to suckle her clitoris before lapping up the tangy, sweet juices of her arousal. She lets out a loud moan as I dart my tongue in and out of her hot, wet center while rubbing my fingers through her pussy lips, ensuring I stroke every sensitive point to drive her wild. I uncontrollably scream in shock as Quinn rams his dick into me without warning, filling me to the hilt. The painful stretch feels so good as my pussy ripples and clenches around his dick. He lifts one of my legs on his shoulder as he slaps my clitoris, sending a shooting, pleasurable pain up my spine, causing me to shudder. Quinn begins to fuck me relentlessly, pulling his dick out until it's just the tip and ramming it into me hard. I time the thrust of my tongue and the rhythm of my finger on Sanaya's clitoris with the tempo Quinn sets with every thrust into my pussy and every slap he makes to my clitoris. I shift Sanaya's hips so her clitoris is positioned at my mouth and her ass is in the air facing towards Quinn. As soon as I lick and suck her clitoris into my mouth, I feel Quinn shift his weight so his dick is in a more downward angle as he pounds my pussy, taking me deeper and harder as he eats Sanaya the fuck out. Quinn and I fuck Sanaya's pussy with our mouths in tandem as he fucks me hard, fast, and deep. I begin to feel my pussy quiver around Quinn's manhood and my toes dig into the rug beneath me as a tingle courses up and down my spine. My body begins to shake, my orgasm building, causing me to shake uncontrollably as Sanaya grinds her swollen clit on my tongue and swollen lips, trying to get some relief. Sanaya's body begins to convulse, her small tits bouncing near my head as she screams her orgasm at the top of her lungs. The feeling of her hot, wet pussy on my mouth, the sexy whimpers and cries she makes as she orgasms, sets me off and I come loudly and hard as I cuddle Quinn's dick in a velvet vice grip as I meet him thrust for thrust, continuing to chase the euphoria he's gifted my body. I lay under both of them, the sounds of Quinn slapping Sanaya's ass and and our flesh connecting from how hard and erratically he pounds into my pussy is the only noise that can be heard in the living room until he lets out a loud grunt as I feel hot, wet ropes of cum coat the inside of my pussy. We lay in a tangled heap of limbs, our uneven breathing filling the air as we try to float back to earth after that intense fuck session. Fuck Scrabble, Cranium, and Cards Against Humanity. Please, can we just fuck every night to pass the time until the curfew is lifted? Sanaya groans, rolling away from me and laying her head on my right tit. I second that, Quinn murmurs, pulling his dick from my swollen pussy and then pushing his cum back inside me. I let out a nervous laugh. My body becomes rigid, reverting back from its relaxed, carefree state and morphing back into a tightly wound knot of stress, fear, and unease. My mind races a mile a minute, a myriad of thoughts crossing my mind of a scary, unwanted truth. That this might be one of the last moments I spend with Quinn and Sanaya if I'm the midnight heart slinger. If I can't figure out my connection to this deranged killer's victims, then I may have to face the warped reality that my sleepwalking spells have turned me into a murderous monster. That was a truth I wasn't quite ready to face. And to be honest, I don't think I'd ever be. Something isn't right. The noise in the bar is too loud. Sanaya's laughter makes me see colors, and I can hear every slurp and swallow of my Tinder date. My senses are heightened so that every sound, taste, touch, or smell feels exasperating. Maybe the sensory sensitivity is due to the few weeks we were forced to spend away from the bustling Savannah nightlife scene because of the countywide curfew. Or maybe it could be due to me no longer being in my 20s because the bounce back and the want to hang out isn't the same once you hit your 30s. Yet, the only time I feel this out of sorts is after I've awakened from a sleepwalking spell, and that can't be the cause of feeling like I'm a stranger in my own skin. It's implausible because I haven't been asleep in over 12 hours. It has to be social angst from being out for the first time since the Chatham countywide curfew has been lifted. It's strange to think that when I had gone through the precautions of not being able to sleepwalk from my room, I'd cooled it on the dating apps and spent only time with Quinn and Sanaya, that the kidnappings and murders stopped. The police and the FBI think either the midnight heart slinger has hit their cooling off period or has left the area to find a new hunting ground outside of Savannah, Georgia. While the grief and despair are still shrouding the town of Savannah, people are finding peace in not having to look over their shoulders and their ability to resume their normal life. However, something still isn't right about this situation. I'm just having trouble putting my finger on the issue. I could feel it in my gut. I don't think the Midnight Heart Slinger has cooled off or found a new hunting ground because that's too simple of a happily ever after narrative law enforcement is trying to weave to keep the citizens from being in a continuous state of panic and peril. Whoever the Midnight Heart Slinger is, they're methodical. This has been the one thing that has plagued me about the killer. Would I be able to be this methodical, this clever, and this clean with killings that I'd committed in my sleep? My mother and Sanaya have told me that I become an entirely different Amina when I sleepwalk. I remember one bad sleepwalking spell that led to my parents and siblings locking themselves into their room and locking me into mine. Whereas they could unlock themselves from the inside, I had to wait until morning for them to unlock me from the outside. But only time would tell if the killings resumed, if I were the link to the Midnight Heart Slinger that law enforcement was overlooking. I just knew deep down inside I should still be worried. Hell, all the locals in Savannah should be worried about the Midnight Heart Slinger. Or maybe I'm just being paranoid and the victims of the killings were a coincidence and not even one big enough to alert law enforcement. Because it's not like I was the only woman that these men had swiped on and went on dates with within Chatham County. "Anina, are you okay?" Zaniya worriedly questions. Her voice sounds scratchy to my ears, becoming the source of great agitation for me. "I'll be right back. I just need some air and to splash some cold water on my face," I say to her and my date as I rise on shaky legs. I feel nauseous and I see silvery and white floaters in front of my eyes as my head begins to pound. "Do I need to come with you?" Zaniya asks. I shake my head, afraid that if she follows me, my agitation will become uncontrollable from the sound of her voice and I'll lash out. In a way, our friendship might not survive. The wooden panels of the bar's wall cause my fingertips to itch and tingle. I feel like I'm walking through quicksand. As I make my way to the ladies' bathroom, I feel itchy, hot, and wobbly on my own 2 feet. How much had I had to drink? Ugh, I couldn't remember. As I turned on the bathroom sink, the water rushed from the faucet, the loud whoosh causing my ears to feel as if they were bleeding. I felt my breathing slow, my eyes getting heavy with every blink. A sudden wave of drowsiness hits me as I lower myself to the smelly tile floor on the bar's restroom. My eyes droop closed from the heaviness. Maybe I just need a quick nap, and then in a few minutes, I'll feel as good as new. I fall into a dark abyss of the slumber I would have fought any other time. I gasp for breath, adrenaline shooting through my veins as I wake with a fright. My heart beats erratically against my chest as I struggle against the heavy restraints holding my arms and legs in place. I can barely see anything in this dimly lit room. It smells old and moldy, like I'm in an old basement or storage unit. I close my eyes, trying to retrace my steps over the last 24 hours mentally. Where the fuck was I? Had I been sleepwalking? I remember going with Zaniya to meet our Tinder dates at our usual bar. I remember not feeling well and going to the restroom to try to catch my breath and self-soothe myself from the angst I had begun to feel from being in such a crowded space. I crane my neck to hear the loud footfalls approaching me to try to make out if they're the footsteps of a man or woman. But even as I strain to hear, I can't definitively decipher the gender of the person approaching, only that the footsteps are human. A bright, blinding light illuminates the small space briefly, causing me to let out a muffled scream. That's when I realize a damp cloth is tied around my mouth, silencing me. My heart pounds harder against my chest as I come to the realization that I'm naked and shackled to a metal operating table, pinned in place like a frog being prepped for a high school biology class dissection. I hear the eerie noises of someone moving around. There's quiet music filling the room, but I can't tell if it's rock, pop, or country. Even worse, I can't see who the fuck is in the room with me. Oh shit. I spent all these weeks living in fear of being the Midnight Heart Slinger, not giving a second thought of what if I'm the one that the Midnight Heart Slinger had been hunting all along. Some killers like to toy with their food. What if the deaths happening around me to those close to me had just been signs that I'd be next? Fuck, I missed every red flag waving in my face telling me I'm not safe in Savannah. I thrash my body from left to right, the thick leather restraints painfully biting into my wrists and ankles. But fuck, if I die in this hellhole at the hands of some deranged lunatic, none of this makes sense to me. What the fuck? Why me? Tears well in the corner of my eyes, blurring my vision. A heavy palm comes into view, covering my heart, filling my thrashing heartbeat. My eyes grow the size of saucers as I peer into beautiful, familiar eyes. Champagne brown eyes that I've seen bring me to orgasmic delight. Champagne brown eyes that bring me comfort and joy. Champagne brown eyes that, for the first time, are dull, soulless, and peer down at me with a colossal hint of crazy in them. My body begins to shake like a leaf while my mind tries to process the terrifying truth staring down at me. Finally, you're awake. You can never tell with GHB how long someone will be out. Quinn calmly states, he removes the damp gag from my mouth, leaning down to kiss me against my lips. Once upon a time, if anyone had asked me, I would have said I considered Quinn a phenomenal kisser. Quinn kisses like those hot, passionate kisses you read about in Harlequin romance novels that send the heroine's head spinning and stabs of lust to her clitoris. At this moment, Quinn's kiss is bitter and disgusting and makes me want to vomit in his mouth. I'm shell-shocked as the handsome man I once thought of as my protector moves around this crowded space of horrors he's created. He's meticulous with his tools of torture as he lays them out on the surgical tray next to the operation table I'm strapped to. I can tell from his movements how he catalogs each item and the sterileness of this place that he's a damn good CSI criminalist. The man went into the perfect profession, but now I realize that he wants to commit the perfect murders, not assist in solving them. What the fuck? Why, Quinn? I raps out through a voice that sounds like I've chain smoked 1,001 cigarettes. My throat burns and it's dry. I would do anything for a glass of water at this moment. He turns to face me with a diabolical grin on his face that turns my blood ice cold. He holds a sharp scalpel in his hand that gleams in the bright light. I feel a sharp sting like a never-ending paper cut as he makes a shallow slice from my breastbone to my belly button. I watch as best I can from my strapped-down position as he licks his tongue in the reverse direction of the shallow incision he made across my body. Quinn rests his head in the valley of my breast, and his lips are stained red from my blood. My stomach churns with disgust. This man is really, really fucking deranged. How did Sanaya and I miss that Quinn clearly had some screws loose and missing? You are supposed to be mine and only mine. I do enjoy sharing you with Sanaya, but I don't do well with other men touching my things. So, I had to find a way to leave you and everyone else messages that you were off limits. Quinn grounds out between clenched teeth. His anger is palpitating, causing my flesh to break out in goosebumps about this revelation. Quinn has liked me or has romantic feelings for me this entire time. Yet, instead of voicing them, he went on a killing spree? Talk about a crime of fucking passion. Why'd you kill Darren? He was gay. He had zero interest in me. He always talked about his husband, I asked, my voice breaking as my throat clogged with tears. Darren is the death that has haunted me more than any of the others, leaving me baffled as to why the Midnight Heartslinger would choose him as a victim. That poor sap was a miscalculation. Collateral damage, but a message that had you pushing Winston out of town and back on a plane 1,000 miles away from you. Therefore, Darren served his purpose. You should have heard how he screamed when I stabbed him through the heart. Quinn cheerfully exclaims. A maniacal laugh shakes his body, causing me to go rigid and draw back in revulsion when he strokes my cheek. There are no words for how batshit crazy this man is, I've come to realize. So, why me now? Why kidnap me? Why tie me up and carve pieces out of me like a Thanksgiving turkey? I question confused. Quinn is an enigma that I can't crack. Clearly, the police couldn't either, because he's been killing people left and right while managing to hide in plain sight. I feel full body chills consume me as I think about how his co-workers are indeed fraternizing with their enemy and have no fucking clue. His eyes darken with rage, his pupils becoming pinpricks as he slices into me again. Only this time, I feel the blade cut deeper and I let out a small cry of pain. Because you need to pay. You picked every other trash man over me, pretending like I was only good for my dick. When you should have loved me as much as I fucking loved you. I thought if I killed off every date, male friend, hookup, or hell, fuck buddy, you'd have no choice but to pick me. Yet, you kept finding more men. I finally realized you were the problem. And I needed to end the pain you were causing me and everyone around you. So, I need to rid you of my world. Quinn seethes as he palms my breast while fluttering kisses across my face in an affectionate manner. I couldn't believe my ears. His declaration of love had been overshadowed by his irrational thought process, which led him to become the midnight heart slinger, leaving human bodies as wreckage of his broken heart like pieces of litter sprinkled across Chatham County. The only problem is, I think I'm going to throw them off by driving a knife through your heart, piercing the Joker card. Leave law enforcement guessing and believing they may have a copycat killer on their hands. In case you're wondering about my genius, I did a Queen of Hearts because you were the queen that held my heart, and I was trying to let you and the world know what you meant to me. But now, I see this thing between us for what it really is, Quinn says angrily. What is it? I gulp, flinching each time he cuts into me and licks and sucks my blood as if he were a vampire. You made a fool out of me. But you were the real fool by not choosing me, by not loving me. Therefore, I'm going to take my time with you and I'm going to enjoy every last second and breath you take, Quinn laughed. Fuck, I didn't want to die like this. I feel a sharp prick in my neck and a burning sensation course through my body. My limbs begin to feel heavy and numb, my eyes drooping. Rest easy, Melanesian beauty. I have a CSI shift and will come back by the next time you awake. Unfortunately, the fun I'm going to have with you will have to wait just a little while longer, Quinn explains, kissing my forehead tenderly. The sound of his footsteps disappear as the room becomes submerged in almost darkness, with a small lamp working overtime as a dimly lit light source. I try my hardest to fight the sleep that slowly starts to take control of my body. I never in a million years thought I'd have to brace myself for falling not only victim to the midnight heart slinger, but having him turn out to be one of my bestest friends. I needed to think, and I needed to think fast. Would I be able to outsmart a psychopath? Or would I end up on Tibby Island like many of this lunatic's victims that had come before me? Oh, shit. Will Anina be able to get herself out of this situation and save her life and maybe the lives of any other future Midnight Slinger victims? The clock is ticking. If you would enjoy a continuation of this story, then please join my Patreon and let me know. Have a very safe, kinky, and spooky Halloween. Stay sexy. Until next time, ta-ta for now. Oh, so hot and sexy bedtime stories from Thanks for tuning in to this week's Erotic Tale. For more erotic stories, sex tips, love advice, and sexual education, check out lalasbedtimetales.com and add me on Instagram for more erotic and sensual content at lalasbedtimetales. Please comment and share your fave sexy bedtime stories with erotica enthusiasts like you and me. Ta-ta until next time, sexies.